Last summer, as natural disaster after natural disaster hit, 80 of the Phoenix Fire Department's most skilled rescuers crisscrossed the country ready to help. They were part of a national force of highly trained search and rescuers deployed to provide assistance after natural disasters.
But a new investigation in the Arizona Republic shows they spent more time traveling and awaiting orders than they did actually effecting rescues. And the show's Lauren Gilger spoke with reporter Jason Polmore about this. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. So Jason told me when this Arizona Task Force won was deployed to Hurricane Harvey in Texas over the summer, it was such a monstrous storm that there was a lot of watching the weather and waiting to see what would happen. Where would the need be? That's pretty typical of the FEMA task force system, he said. They try to stage teams where they think they'll be able to help most. But when they got there, he told me they ended up doing a lot of waiting around. And this isn't just the story for this team from Arizona.
So in this case, the Phoenix team was deployed to an area near Houston, and they staged near Houston for a couple of days, and they basically awaited orders, awaited sort of their task and assignments for where to go effect these rescues.
And what happened next?
Over the time that they were in the area of Houston, they effected 17 rescues. They aided 12 people in evacuation, and they helped move 4 pets, according to their records.
Wow, so they spent all this time and a lot of money, it sounds like, but didn't end up being able to do much at all.
That's right. They were in the area, and they were able to be deployed for active rescue operations, of which there were many to be had. But the slow dance, as it was referred, of FEMA did not utilize them to the extent that many of the firefighters wished they had been utilized.
Wow. And that must have been frustrating for them. Did you talk to them?
I did. I talked to a number of firefighters, both with the Phoenix team and other teams across the country involved in this effort. And it's sort of a difficult mind game, because firefighters, by their job title, they're problem solvers. Mm-hmm. They deal with any number of things, whether it's a structure fire or a medical emergency or a plumbing emergency or car crash or whatever the case might be. They're problem solvers, and they deal with stuff over and over and over throughout the day. In this case, it was an instance of idle hands. They're waiting to be deployed to go do something, to problem solve. And oftentimes they were left kind of waiting.
And you mentioned you talked to other firefighters around the country who were in the same sort of position. So this is a broader problem.
It is. It's been described to me by a number of different folks as a slow dance. So the FEMA system and the task force system that we're talking about here, it's lumbering, it's very versatile. But over the span of several years, they've taken on additional duties. And in doing so, they become less nimble. So this highly trained group can do a lot of things, but to mobilize everywhere and to await the orders through the bureaucracy of FEMA, it takes time. And so they end up not being able to be as nimble.
Right. And there's also a money side to this, right? How much does this end up costing?
So the way the reimbursement works is teams are afforded about $1 million each year to handle upkeep of equipment and training and just make sure that they're ready to go at the drop of a hat. And then the teams will deploy and incur costs for manpower, of course, for fuel, for wear and tear on vehicles, things like that. Mm-hmm. They get back to their home base, and then they can file for reimbursement. So for the Phoenix reimbursement, for their 21-day deployment, it was a little bit over $3 million that they filed for reimbursement for. That's part of a broader $92 million that FEMA is allocating for reimbursement for these task forces.
All around the country.
For last year's hurricanes.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
So I wonder, this is taxpayer money, right? And does it feel like to these firefighters and as they're seeking reimbursement and sitting around and waiting that this is wasted?
I don't get that impression that they feel like it's wasted. At least the firefighters don't think that. What FEMA told me and what many other people involved in emergency services have said is that this is sort of like an insurance policy. Hmm. You want to have these resources positioned around the country, kind of like you want to have a fire station positioned strategically in your city. And ideally, you never have to use it. But in a worst-case scenario, or if the events unfold the way that they often do, they do need to be used. So the question becomes, how do you use it more effectively?
So there are calls now to sort of overhaul this process, right, so that it's not a slow dance, like you said. What are the solutions? Are there options on the table?
This is an area that has been talked about for years and years and years. ever since the beginning formations of the Urban Search and Rescue Task Force system under FEMA, the intent has always been to handle rescues that involve structure collapse. Over time, those training operations for structure collapse and structure-related issues has grown to involve water rescues. It's grown to involve other sorts of search and rescue, and in some cases, recovery operations. Mm-hmm. And so one of the solutions on the table is to more narrowly define what it is that these teams are going to be used for. Now, that's way up for interpretation, and there's a lot of different problems that people will present about that. The other option on the table that some people have suggested has to do more with having smaller teams. If you don't deploy an 80-member team with a dozen vehicles to convoy across the country, then you can get there quicker. You can have a smaller team insert into an area that has a lot of need mm-hmm. right away. Critics will say, though, that then you don't have all the equipment that you might need, or you break up some of the teamwork and the camaraderie that firefighters are known for. So you break up that teamwork, you don't function as well. Those are some of the big ideas, but I guess there's always room for additional interpretation. The question becomes, what is that going to look like when the next wave of disasters hits?
Are there any of these plans that are going into action at this point, or are we waiting for this to happen again to try and put a solution into practice?
The experts that I talked to who are trained in search and rescue, and including one guy who was deeply involved in the original planning of this system more than 20 years ago, mm-hmm. he said that there's not a lot on the table right now that's tangibly looking to change for this. There are always things that people are talking about, and people will say that it's really important to have these discussions. So they have after-action reviews. They oftentimes come to the table and say, here's what worked, here's what didn't, here's what we would have liked to have done, here's what we didn't like that we did do, and here's how to make the system more effective. But as with anything, when it comes to FEMA, sometimes these things are really slow moving and really slow to change.
All right. Jason Pohl is the public safety reporter for the Arizona Republic. Jason, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us about this.
Thanks for having me.